to laugh your ass off.
I'm ashamed God made me a man.
I don't think God's doing a lot of bragging about it either.
What's happening, Captain?
We gotta come into that ending a little better.
That's like hitting a brick wall.
I know.
Hello! Hi there, it is Denise, and you are listening to The Lesbian Lounge. I am so happy to be here. We are produced by MyLesbianRadio.com. I'm not quite sure if you know all that's going on over there at My Lesbian Radio so much. We have a couple of new shows that I'm super, super proud of. It's going really, really well. We've got Music for Your Soul, hosted by Sarah Cooper Ryder. Her first guest was Donna McGavro, a local musician in the Ohio area. It was a great interview. Little Sarah Cooper Ryder started off as a listener, and now she's got her own show. We've also got Funny Business, the Women of Stand-Up Comedy with Carrie Lee. She is an amazing stand-up comedian over here in the UK, and she'll be talking to other women who are in the business of comedy, and her first show had guest Laura King, and it was a fantastic show. We're still so happy to be producing the Lesbian Book Club with Claire Lydon. Really good stuff there. We're going to be talking to the girls at Planet London on a show called Planet Radio, which is so much fun. And they've got so much going on. Obviously, the Ultimate Planet Awards are happening March 20th, so if you don't have your ticket, please get in touch with them. It's going to be a fantastic evening in London. And as usual, all your favorites in the community are up for some major awards, and it's kind of like the Lesbian Oscars. It's a really good night out. We also have Ragtime, which is myself and Nicole and Heather from the Pusscast, the Pcast podcast. And that's really just a lot of fun, where we kind of tear into today's headlines and trends. It's about what's annoying us. It's that time of the month, and we've got some venting to do. So Ragtime is doing really well as well. So all kinds of good things happening. Again, my name is Denise, and I am an American lesbian who lives in London, and I've been doing the Lesbian Lounge for quite a number of years. And normally we love to kind of rip on what's going on in the headlines on Facebook, what's happening in the LGBT news. And, you know, lately there's been a lot of stuff happening in the news, and we're going to get to that because a friend of mine who is a lawyer is really keeping tabs on the things that are happening. And I know that sometimes you think, well, I don't have kids, so the adoption thing doesn't faze me. I don't have a lawsuit going on, so I don't really care. I've never faced discrimination, so it's no big deal to me. But honestly, these things, they're groundbreaking, and they are really landmark cases that are setting quite a precedent, and we should be aware of them. And Kathy Bonzek is going to, we're going to have a chat with Kathy in a minute, and she's going to break everything down for us in a way that we can understand. And this way, if you are having problems, or you are having something's going on in your life and you need some advice, Kathy's going to tell us what kind of steps we can take. And I think that's really super important. Even, I guess, just to know about it. Maybe something isn't going on in your life, but really there are things that we need to know about instead of just skimming them. Like, I know for me, that's what I do. I skim the article, I read it, I go, oh, okay, you know, and I move on. It doesn't really have an impact, but it should. And that's the most important thing. So we're going to have that on today's show. We're going to have a talk with Kathy, and we're going to learn a little bit more about what's going on, what it means for us as a community. For me, I usually hear about these groundbreaking landmark cases through Kate Kendall. And I think that's kind of been my source for a long, long time. But again, sometimes I read them and I don't really understand them. So Kathy's going to break some things down and help us to understand a little bit better. In the meantime, what can I tell you? It's been pretty normal around here. Nothing too major going on. My book is with... I've been working on a book that's not really an autobiography, but I pull a few things and exaggerate from my own life. It's a pretty easygoing, chilled out story. There's no huge conflict. There's no mystery to solve. It's just, kind of a period of time in a young lesbian's life and what's going on. And that is with the publisher right now, so we're working on that. I actually had a meeting to discuss covers, which was really interesting, and I'm super happy with it, and I've already started another project, so that's pretty cool. In the meantime, I'm on a new diabetes medication that's interesting, some ups and downs with it. I didn't really want to go on it, but I'm finding that the benefits are outweighing my fears, I guess. You know, you hear about side effects and stuff, and that really puts you off on medications, which I'm sure is the right way to handle it. But in my case, because I take so many pills, tablets, and they're just not doing what they were supposed to be doing, and it's really been long enough that I've been struggling with my kind of across-the-board A1C number, and this new medication is supposedly going to get that number down. So it's an injectable, and I'm not used to that. So it's been a learning experience, and like I said, some of the side effects are unpleasant. I seem to be walking around with a general queasy, a little bit of nausea. But again, I'm eliminating some of the pills that I have to take, so that's a good thing, and my numbers are looking really, really good. So hopefully when the side effects pass, everything will kind of level out, and it'll be good news from there on in. So that's really what's going on over here. My mother is coming for a visit, and I'm very, very excited about that. In about a month, she'll be here for a short visit, but we're going to pack a lot into it, and we're going to have some serious fun. So that's good. And really, that's pretty much it. So I'm going to play my chat with Kathy because I think that it is really important. And normally I wouldn't do a show that's so serious. But when when I was first approached by Kathy to do it, I was a little bit nervous because I don't feel educated enough to be speaking on these topics, but she is, and that's where I kind of understood this is where it's going to be helpful, because not only did she help me to understand what's going on with our in our LGBT community, but also the impact of what these cases will have moving forward. So for our future, I thought, you know what, maybe it's time to delve in. So I really hope that you get something out of this. I know it's not your typical lesbian lounge, but again, it's really important stuff. We're going to be talking about the Coat versus Walmart case. We're also going to be talking about this new ruling that just happened earlier this week in Alabama that with regards to adoption. And Kathy's got great information and research, and she's very accessible. So I think all these things combined will make it an interesting chat for you. So here's my talk with Kathy Bonzik. And if anybody has any questions or you're interested in learning a little bit more, you can go to KathleenBonzikESQ.com. And that's Kathy's site, and her blog is on there, and her contact information is on there. Her name is Kathleen, KathLeen Bonzik, BonCyzk, ESQ.com. So with that in mind, here's my chat with Kathy. I hope you like it. And I obviously want you to subscribe to My Lesbian Radio. If you follow us on Podbean, you can click on the RSS button and you'll be subscribed. If you follow us on iTunes, there's a button to click on to subscribe. If you're on Stitcher, search The Lesbian Lounge and make us one of your favorites, and the show will always be there. We're on Twitter at Lesbian Lounge, and I miss you guys, and I'm sorry these are so sporadic, but there's so many other things to keep you interested and connected with all the other shows that are going on, so please enjoy. First of all, I want to let my listeners know who you are, because they know Debbie, and they know Debbie well.
Okay.
They know everything that Debbie and I got into as teenagers.
Oh, today's her birthday, by the way. She's oh my God. I called her last night. I would be the first one, bitch, to wish you happy birthday. You know, seven years and 7 days younger than me. Seven years and seven days
younger than you. So I'm going to let listeners know that we are talking to Philly Debbie's older sister, Philly Debbie. That's how she's known. Philly, we have a lot of Debbies in our circle. She's Philly Debbie, and she's hilarious. And you are her older sister. And the funny thing is that just 7 years and 7 days, like you said, really kind of like I only knew you in little snippets because you were like in school and busy and working and already establishing yourself when we were like farting on each other. And
I know. You know, so it's like such a mind fuck. If you excuse my friend, I'm feeling like, you know, you look the same way you should sit in Coral Springs. You know, I'm expecting to see, you know, the whole gang coming out, getting out of those little condos. What days they were, though?
Huh? Oh my God, the Melrose days. Yeah, they were like the Melrose days. My mother was like the den mother.
She was the best.
And everybody was just in and out of those three condos constantly.
Johnny,
yeah.
Linda, Debbie, Steph, you know.
So funny. Yeah. Marina. Yeah, all of them. My cousin Linda. Everybody. It was just, it was so much fun. But so you went out, like everybody knows Debbie's journey and what she's been up to and what she's been doing. We couldn't be more proud, seriously, of Bianca's kids and everything. But you're on a whole different path. Like you're into like serious...
Yeah.
You're an established lawyer and like, serious business here, and you brought it to my attention about this Coat versus Walmart lawsuit.
This is important stuff.
And it was it wasn't until you brought it to my attention, like I didn't hear about this, and I know my listeners probably didn't know too much.
Everybody needs to know about this case. She is the Rosa Parks of the. No, I swear she is. I've worked in human resources. For years and years and the bullying and the discrimination that the LGBT community has, you know, and do I have to preach to the pulpit here?
Yeah.
There was nothing there. And so finally, we're starting to see so much activity. This is a land, this is going to change everything. And I'm really excited to talk to you about it. And I want your listeners to know about it, and you know, to speak up and to be proud of what's going on.
Right. So let's start a little bit about how the case originated.
Okay. So, babe, you want me to start now?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, I'm really excited about it. Okay. So we have Ms. Jacqueline Cote, C-O-T-E, Jackie Cote, longtime Walmart associate up in New England. She got a job back in 1999 in Walmart in Maine. It was. Okay, so she's a long-term employee. We're not talking about somebody that just come in and going out of the workplace. Good employee, been there a long time. Same year, 1999, Dee, who later she married, became her wife, also worked for Walmart. So the two Walmart employees. Now, Dee left the organization after a period of time to care for her mother and to do some other things. So she leaves Walmart. She leaves her health insurance, all important benefits behind. Dee, unfortunately, she had... breast cancer, and then she developed ovarian cancer, some really heavy diagnoses, as you know, Denise.
Yeah,
big. You need your health insurance benefits at that point in time. So what Dee did is she went on COBRA first through Walmart. She's paying for COBRA, very expensive to maintain her benefits. Dee and Jacqueline Cote get married. It was about 2004. And at some point around 2008, Jackie goes up to the terminal. It's open enrollment, as you know. Do your listeners know what open enrommentis?
Yeah, it's like that's when you can select your benefits for the upcoming year, right?
Correct. Okay. It's the one time of the year where employers will communicate. Look, if you want to add somebody, take somebody off your plan, this is the time to do it. So she walks up to the terminal, Jackie, in 2008. And she's got a legal marriage in Massachusetts. They're in Massachusetts now. She's got a legal marriage. She goes, this is not a domestic partnership. This is not a friend. This is her wife. Wife who needs benefits. So she goes on and she endeavors to add Jacqueline's name to her health insurance, to convert from employee only to employee plus spouse. ES is the category.
Right.
Goes to, puts her name in, checks off sex as female, stops right there. Walmart says basically you can't enroll her because only members of the opposite sex. If this is a male, if his name's Daniel, and you're checking off that he's a male, then we will allow him to be part of the group health insurance plan. So she tried this a few times. Meantime, Dee is suffering from ovarian cancer, and she's going to doctors, and they're incurring all of these costs. She's uninsured. She doesn't have or underinsured, and she's incurring. It's something like the papers in the lawsuit said $150,000.
Oh.
Bill collectors come. You can imagine, it's ovarian cancer. It's a heavy-duty diagnosis.
Oh, yeah.
So ultimately what happened is that Walmart had a long-term policy. Group health insurance benefits were only available to opposite sex spouses. They reversed that in, I believe it was 2014, January 2014. So as of January 2014, now Walmart will allow you, whether you are married to same sex or opposite sex, to
right.
get health insurance. But the problem is, we've got all of these bills that were incurred for all of this period of time when she needed these benefits. She could not obtain it. So what Ms. Coate did is she went to the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. Denise, do you know what the EEOC is? I know you've read some of my posts, but
yeah, this is a really important organization that I don't think that many of my listeners know even exist.
Okay. The United States Equal Employment Opportunity Commission is the federal agency in the United States that was actually created by Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964. This is the law that Ms. Coate is suing for sex discrimination under. So let's backtrack. What is Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964? This is one of the major employment discrimination laws in the United States. It is a federal law. It was enacted during all the civil rights initiatives of the early 1960s. And what it states is cannot discriminate on the basis of five protected classes in employment: race, color, sex, religion, and national origin. It was passed in July of 1964. In the statute, the agency known as the EEOC was created by Congress. This is an administrative agency. We have this idea that we don't want people to have to go to court and sue. If we can have an administrative agency resolve some disputes in employment, that's a good thing. So that's where the EEOC comes into play.
Okay.
EEOC is the federal agency that you must go to first. You cannot sue for sex discrimination under Title VII. If you do that, you will be subject to a motion to dismiss. And if the statute of limitation runs, you are out of luck. You have to go to the EEOC first.
So you basically have to follow like a proper channel.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, a condition preceded. They do educational things. They have an in-house staff of attorneys. Basically, they interpret and enforce the law. Now, they do not have the powers of Congress, but they're a powerful agency. They're out of Washington, D.C. And so what Ms. Coate did is she filed a charge of discrimination with the EEOC, and she said, Walmart's failure to allow me to obtain health insurance benefits for my same-sex spouse is sex discrimination. It's on the basis of my sexual orientation, essentially. My other colleagues within Walmart who are married to men or women, or men that are married to women, they're able to get health insurance benefits with no problem. But
right.
You denied me this opportunity for a piece. You tried a few times. You denied me this opportunity. It's great, you know, that you've reversed your policy, but you denied me this opportunity. And that constitutes sex discrimination. Now, this is novel because if you look at the language of the statute, Denise, there is nothing within the statute that talks about sexual orientation being sex discrimination.
Right.
Well, sexual harassment is also considered a sex discrimination now. There's nothing about sexual harassment in the language of Title VII. What happens is that people will challenge things. They'll say, okay, we have this employment action that's been taken against me. I believe that this is blank. I believe this is race discrimination in violation of Title VII. I believe it's sex discrimination, national. And then it'll work its way through the court system, and you'll have judges interpreting the law, and then it may go to the Supreme Court. In 1986, what happened is there was a case called Meritor v. Vincent, and that went to the Supreme Court, and that's where sexual harassment was construed as being violation of Title VII. This is what Ms. Cote is endeavoring to do here. She got a determination from the EEOC. They went through the EEOC, investigated her charge, and I've got the final determination right here. It's available on my website if anyone wants to see. And the magic words are, the commission, this is the EEOC, finds that respondent's refusal to add charging party, that's Ms. Cote, spouse to her health insurance coverage following their marriage constituted discrimination on the basis of her sex. Female. Okay, so now what happens is EEOC has made this determination. Cote's attorneys tried to resolve it through mediation. It failed with the EEOC. So they said, okay, EEOC, give me my ticket to federal court, which is what's called a right to sue letter. The EEOC has got to give you a right to sue letter. They issued that to Jackie. Now the lawsuit's been filed. GLAAD is representing her. It was filed in July of last year. They're endeavoring to get class action status associated with that case.
Let me ask you a question here. Yes. You said it was filed July of last year.
Yes.
When the laws changed, and I think it was in June, the end of June, where,
yes,
you know, the marriage equality law passed, did that have any bearing on this at all, or no? We're going back because this is retro.
Interesting timing, though. I think that we're sort of like, we got some momentum going here all over the place. So it's interesting that you bring up the Obergefeller case.
Okay.
I hope I'm pronouncing it right. Obergefeller. That case was decided on June 25th, 2015. Justice Anthony Scalia wrote that opinion. This is the justice of the Supreme Court who has written virtually all the court's decisions recognizing and expanding gay rights. So yes, at that time they did away with the laws that were inconsistent in the country. And from that point forward, now marriage, it doesn't matter if you want to marry a male or a female. It doesn't matter. Everybody has the right to marry in the United States. It did away with this Defense of Marriage Act. You hear about that?
Yeah, the DOMA, yeah. Yep.
Justice, guess who wrote that opinion? Kennedy, you know, he writes all of the opinions. But interesting timing. It really doesn't have anything to do with the other, because one dealt with, does our Constitution guarantee the right of same-sex couples to marry? And we were all over the place in the United States. You had some states that said yes, some states that said no. We had this case, and the Supreme Court has said it is a fundamental right. You get anyone, if you, it doesn't matter.
Right.
Your sexual orientation should not matter. But does that mean, like, you brought up the adoption thing this morning, you brought up that adoption case to me this morning that was entertained by the Supreme Court yesterday, and I've got the opinion here. Just because the Supreme Court has ruled one way doesn't mean that everybody's going to follow the law. Like, even after the Obergefell case, we still had situations where gay couples went into clerk's offices and tried to get
Kim Davis, yeah. Thank you, Kim Davis. Right.
And going back to your original question, does this have anything to do? It's really two separate things. But what we're starting to see is the discrimination that the LGBT community faced for so many years in adoption going away, marriage going away, and hopefully in employment going away.
Right. It seems like obviously being in the community and having your ear to the wall for these things. But just in the last year or so, we're starting to care more, you know, about our rights. I think we just, you know, you get to a point that you're just like, you don't pay attention because it doesn't apply to you. You don't have those rights. And now we're all waking up and we're going, we do have rights. I mean, the everything, like, especially like the movie Freeheld, which was, about Ocean City female detective trying to have the freeholders allow her partner to get her pension because she was dying of cancer. And that was like 10 years ago. And we kind of overlooked it. And then this year a movie gets made about it. And it's a reminder of how far we've come and what we've had to struggle, you know, with. And now we're finding that, you know, these a reason to be interested again, because it's a reason, it's like not an uprising, but an awareness that we have rights that we need to fight for.
Absolutely. And if you don't fight for them, guess what? Those rights start to go away a little bit, as we all know. So it's really important that the LGBT community is aware of what's going on. I understand this is in the United States, and I know you have listeners all over the world.
Yeah.
But certainly in the United States, as an attorney and as a researcher, I'm glad to see these decisions come down, because I think that it was ridiculous. You know, if you want to marry, that you can't. You had right. to go to look at the adoption case, and I know we're kind of jumping all over
yeah,
the place.
Yeah.
The adoption case that you've picked up on, I actually just got the ruling this morning and had a chance to read it before, you know, you pointed it out to me. The VL versus EF case. Now, this is a situation where, this is in Georgia, where you had this couple. They're living in an adjoining state. They're living in Alabama, and they're known as VL versus GL, so I don't know what their names are. But the decision, I'm going to put it up on my website if anybody wants to read it.
Great.
But anyway, we have this couple that's living in Alabama, and one has children. I mean, she's a natural mother to these three kids. She's one kid and then a set of twins. And her spouse wants to adopt the kids. And she can't adopt them in her home state because adoption at that time is not allowed in Alabama. So they go over to Georgia. And so she legally adopts the children. Now, she has two mothers, which you need. I mean,
exactly.
You know, kids get in trouble in school or medical attention. You know, as you're a parent, you've got more rights than you would if you're just a stepmom, or if you're not a parent.
Right.
So, unfortunately, the marriage fell apart. And so now, the one partner is trying to see her kids and be involved in her kids' life. And the other spouse, you know what happens in divorces, the other spouse is saying, no, you can't, you know, these are my natural kids, and I'm not going to let you see it. So she went into court, and she tried to enforce her rights. And the state of Alabama said, that adoption in Georgia is void. We're not going to recognize it. Now, that's ridiculous.
Right.
It's because if you're married in California and then you move to Georgia or you move to New England, you don't have to get married again. There's full faith and credit. The states are supposed to recognize marriages of other states, contracts made in other states. It's full faith and credit. But in this case, what Alabama said is, we're not going to recognize that adoption. It's what, in the meantime, the kids are not seeing their mother. The kids are getting older. So rather than appeal to, because appeals, when you appeal in a state, if you appeal a decision, it can take a lot of time. Meantime, the kids are getting older. The one kid, I think, is 13. The twins are like 11 or a little bit younger. They need both parents
definitely,
in their lives.
Definitely, especially at that age. Wow.
Oh, you know it, Denise, right? Mm-hmm. So what her attorneys did very smartly is they went to the Supreme Court and they filed, they put this matter before the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court yesterday said, you know, basically, you got it wrong, Alabama. You know, you need to kind of go back and relook at this. So at least now, they're still going to have to battle it in Alabama still, but at least now the woman's going to be able to see her kids and she's going to be able to be in her. She said, I haven't seen my kids in months. I haven't seen my kids. At least I'm going to be able to see, I just want to see my kids. I want to be a parent to my children.
It's just amazing how far we've come. Like that was, you know, I follow Kate Kendall, who I think that was where I tagged you, and she's a really big name in our community, a lawyer out of San Francisco that does HRC work, and she keeps us, you know, kind of abreast of what's going on and that kind of thing, and sometimes I think that like for me, I don't have children, so it's not something, you know, that caught my attention right away. But I still feel like, as a member of the community, you need to know these things, you know, and not just because I'm a podcaster and it's stuff that I feel like I should be reporting, because I'm a lesbian. You know what I mean? Like
yeah,
that really
it impacts,
is.
The, it, I think it impacts us all.
Yeah.
It impacts us all. You know, it doesn't. You know, impact if people are not able to see their children. And if you're not going to recognize, I mean, it's not recognize an adoption from another state or a contract from another, what are then, are we supposed to all get remarried every time we move? Are we not going to, if we move to Mississippi or Georgia, I live in Florida, you're not going to recognize a marriage or a contract
right.
that's made here. It just, it's, so I'm glad the Supreme Court ruled the way it did, but it just goes to show you, You know what? An adoption is still not legal in one. I think it's Mississippi today.
Right.
It's still not legal in the state of Mississippi. So we have 49 states that do recognize.
I remember. I think it was Rosie O'Donnell that actually moved away from Florida.
Yes.
It was. I remember I was interviewing Sharon Gless, and she is really good friends with Rosie O'Donnell, and she was telling me about the fight that Rosie was in the middle of because she was fostering some children in Florida and wanted to adopt and couldn't, and ended up like just moving. Like, she was so miserable about the decision that she ended up moving, and it's scary. And part of the reason why I'm here was because it wasn't until last June. If Gemma wanted to come to the United States and live in Florida with me, we couldn't do it. We couldn't be married in Florida, you know.
Right. In the Constitution, state of Florida said, you know, basically yep. said, and you know, so it was until June of last year that, you know, that gay couples could marry here, and we were having marriages recognized elsewhere because of the decision that the Supreme Court and Justice Kennedy wrote
yeah.
in June of 20. Yeah, he's a good friend. He's a friend. I mean, every decision that impacts the LGBT community, his name is going to be on it. He's going to write the decision. He's going to be involved. So, yeah, I just wanted to bring that to your attention.
That's interesting to know. Exactly. Yeah. But, yeah, it's, you know, it's so many changes in just the last couple of years. And like you said, some of these are just landmark, you know, and like, they're groundbreaking. Like, you know, Jackie Coates' case, like the word that I saw a lot was class action. Can you kind of explain to my listeners what class action means?
Of course. What Jackie did is when she filed her lawsuit back in June in Massachusetts, the district court in Massachusetts, which is her home state, she filed it, Jacqueline, it's styled Jacqueline Coates. Individually on behalf of other similarly situated members of the class versus Walmart.
Okay.
So what the theory is that there may be other people that also suffered this form of discrimination who will want to be involved in this case. And actually what happened in February is that plaintiff's counsel mailed out, I think it was something like 1,200 notices to people who either currently work for Walmart or worked for Walmart in the past that had legal marriages, that they may be able to participate in this class. So it'll be not only on behalf of Jacqueline, but also on behalf of other members, other people that worked for Walmart that had a valid marriage. You have to have a valid marriage
right.
in order to participate in this class. But they sent out notices. And if anyone believes that they're part of or potentially part or knows of someone, get on the GLAAD website. And learn about this and get in contact with the plaintiff's attorneys because you'll want to participate in this case if you can. And so yeah, it is. I mean, it's basically it's class action. She filed it wanting the class to get certified. The judge is scheduled to hear. You have to file a motion for class certification. It's going to be entertained by the court scheduled this summer. So if that happens, then every other member that has wants to be part of this lawsuit, former, current Walmart employees with a valid marriage will then be able to participate in this case so that they don't have to go off and file their own individual
exactly,
lawsuits.
Exactly. Okay. So that's huge too.
It is huge.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. So basically can I just tell you a little bit, because I'm really excited about this case.
Yeah.
I'm researching it, monitoring, watching it. Jackie's filed her lawsuit and we're in what's called the discovery period. What's discovery? Both parties now are taking depositions. They're filing requests for production of documents, interrogatory, trying to, as the plaintiff, you bear the burden of proof to prove everything that you're saying here. And one of the things that she's saying is that by denying me the opportunity to obtain health insurance for my wife, while you denied my male colleagues and female colleagues who were heterosexual marriages in play, that constitutes sex discrimination under Title VII. So she's now got to go about taking deposition, gathering the evidence to be able to go to trial and to prove her case. Trial is currently scheduled for this fall in Massachusetts. Now, because it's such a big case, it may get postponed because they have to conduct additional discovery. If she does get class certification, probably will get postponed because then it's a bigger issue. You may need to take additional depositions, do additional discovery, prepare for the trial. Hopefully, maybe the case will settle. Who knows?
That was my next question. Like, because Walmart is such a huge company.
They are.
You know, is there a possibility that they will, you know, just settle to not have any bad press, you know?
Yeah, well, you know, it's already in the press right now. It's not as much in the press as I thought it would be, and
yeah.
I think it should be.
Yeah.
But, you know, what they're looking for, what the plaintiff is looking for, is always a possibility. And, I mean, along the way, what happens when you file a lawsuit in federal court is that there's going to be a mediator who's going to be designated, and the parties will have to go to mediation and hopefully resolve it. But, you know, what Jackie's looking for in this case is not just, she's looking for a few things. She's looking for everything out-of-pocket expenses. She's saying that $150,000, somewhere around there in back expenses that she had to absorb because of uninsured costs associated with her wife's medical care.
Sure.
She's also looking for punitive damages. We want to slap Walmart on the wrist for being bad and doing this.
Sure, yep.
Okay. They're also looking for legal relief and what's called equitable relief. They want the court to order certain things. They want to make sure that Walmart doesn't rescind this policy at any time in future. So they want to enjoin them from what if next year they decide, well, we're going to rescind this policy and go back to the old ways. There's nothing right now that would per se require them to provide benefits to individuals that have same-sex partners, because this matter hasn't reached a judge's of yet. We have the EEOC saying that they believe that sexual orientation discrimination violates Title VII, but it hasn't reached the courts yet. So I don't know if the case is going to settle. I think there's some bigger picture things that are at play here that are really important, Denise, you know, because like I said, before we had Murder v. Vincent, sexual harassment, the courts were all over the place. You had some companies that if somebody complained that a supervisor was harassing them, they might, you know, go in and protect the employee. Other companies wouldn't. We were kind of all over the place. And, you know, even though Murder v. Vincent is 86, where I'm 30 years later, people are still being harassed in the workplace.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it still hasn't stopped yet.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, this code decision is going to be really important. We have to monitor it. We have to watch it. I think the LGBT community should applaud Jackie, you know, for stepping forward. I have a quote here from her that I was really impressed with what she said. She talked about, you know, her, I don't want to misquote her, but, you know, she talked about what she went through. I felt like I was a second-class citizen. I had to keep trying. I wouldn't give up is what she said, Jacqueline, because she did. She kept going back and she kept trying to get. Imagine your spouse is ill with ovarian cancer.
It's ridiculous. It's the same feeling I got when I read and spoke with the woman who, her name was Cynthia Wade, who made the documentary short that won an Oscar in 2008 called Freeheld, because it was interesting talking with her because she actually spent time with this couple, and Laurel Hester was dying of brain cancer while this was going on, while Cynthia was shooting this documentary. It was really important to her to see it through, and although she didn't live for the outcome, you know, Stacey Andre did end up pursuing it and getting the pension benefits of Laurel Hester, which meant that she could keep the house that they bought. She could stay in it. And she's still in it, according to Ellen Page, who played Stacey in the Freeheld big screen movie that just came out. But, it's people like that, like Jackie, like Laurel Hester, that don't give up, you know, that don't get detoured from it, that don't think, oh, this is way too much work. You know, it's paving the way for other people,
yes.
You know, for when it happens, because it will, you know, these things are now in place to protect us, but it's not saying that we're not going to go through it, that someone's not going to experience this kind of discrimination. But now someone has fought and they've paved the way to make your battle a little easier.
Yes. I mean, look, mm-hmm. Did you see the documentary on, is it Larry Kramer, the founder of ACT UP?
Yes.
Yeah. what, I mean, how powerful. I thought, I mean, you watch and you think he's going to die, you know? And,
yep.
And he talks about the struggle from, what was it, 69 with Stonewall and just what they went through in the 80s. And they couldn't get, I mean, the discrimination that the government would not, and they had the drugs that would save, and people were dying, and he talked about it. And you know, he got, and you see him and you're like, is he going to live? Is he going to live to the end?
Yeah, you want them so badly to see the reward of their efforts, you know?
Yes.
It's that's the hardest part. Like, I think that was what affected me the most when I was speaking with this director from Freeheld, is that, you know, like, seriously, like, Laurel's dying breath was, get this to the Oscars, you know? You know, like, get the word out. And the director saying the responsibility of having 30 seconds, like, first of all, if they won an Oscar, and then having 30 seconds to address a nation about this cause in her acceptance speech was, you know, the pressure was unbelievable, but she did it. And every once in a while, I will watch the YouTube clip of her winning and saying what she said. And it's just a reminder of the community that there's people out there that will, you know, take it across the finish line, you know?
You know, with getting back to code, so basically it's working its way. We have the EEOC's determination. This is the agency, again, that enforces.
That's a really important step, right?
That is important, you know, because judges are not bound by what the EEOC, but, you know, basically the EEOC is put in place by Congress to enforce and interpret Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964. So we have, and not only that, Denise, the EEOC's commitment to the LGBT community is such that they just filed two additional lawsuits on behalf, one of a gay worker and one of a lesbian worker, last week, March 1st. I wrote about it on my blog, and I think I did a little YouTube video on my channel talking about this. This is two cases. EEOC also has in-house counsel, and they will not represent, they can't represent everybody that goes in and complains of discrimination, but if there's something that they're truly interested in, or they think that it's something that deserves and merits their staff to represent this plaintiff, they will. They filed not one, but two cases. One was out of Baltimore, one was out of Pittsburgh last week. And one dealt with a gay employee of healthcare organization, and he was subjected to harassment, slurs, inappropriate language by his supervisor.
Ugh.
And so when he exercises the internal grievance procedure, like you're supposed to do when you're an employee, if you work in a company, you've got your organization will have an employee handbook or a policy that's posted that says if you believe you're being harassed, not treating properly, discriminated against, go to the person who's harassing you if possible and tell them that you wanted to stop. This is what he did. He did, and a lot of times people will not go to their supervisors because they're a little intimidated. They'll go to human resources.
Yeah. You're worried about being fired.
You're worried about being fired. This is the person who's harassing you. You're going to them and saying, stop.
Yeah.
So he did. He told him that I'm offended by it. Please continue. He goes to the facilities director and complains to this employee. And he was told, your manager's doing what the manager's trying to do. He's just, you know, just basically boys will be boys type of comments. You know, your manager's doing the manager's job. He's doing his best. So nothing was done, according to the plaintiff, to go in there, which should have been done. Should have been investigated. You got a complaint here. You talk to witnesses, and you take remedial action. That wasn't done. He was basically told, according to the plaintiff, you know, take it or leave it. You know, you're going to have to deal with it.
Right.
He quit. He couldn't. It was what's called a constructive discharge, Denise, where the environment is just so offensive and so difficult that the employee feels that they cannot do anything but leave. He did, went to the EEOC, filed a charge of discrimination, again, alleging sexual orientation discrimination is violative of Title VII. This is new, this is novel, we're in Jackie Code area here.
Right.
So now saying harassment on the basis of sexual orientation violates Title VII. This is what the EEOC is trying to get a court to declare. So we have that lawsuit. Meantime, we have another employee, lesbian, employed as a forklift driver in a company in Maryland who worked at nighttime supervisors going, making lewd, sticking out his tongue at her. Oh, you're going to be beautiful in a dress. I'd like to take a woman out and do all this stuff. She's trying to do her job, and she's dealing with this nonsense. She complained. She exercised the internal grievance procedure. What happened? She's saying she was fired. EEOC does not like that. EEOC does not like when, if your employee's coming to you and complaining about discrimination, that you retaliate against them. So this is what her theory is. I was not only discriminated against on the basis of my orientation, but then when I complained, you retaliated against me. Again, trying to show Title VII also covers sexual orientation discrimination. So we got lots going on right now.
Wow. So, and you know what? I'm super excited because I think what happens is we hear the news, we read the headlines, we may skim the story, but we're not really understanding what's going on. And to have somebody like you to take the time to explain it to us, I know that I feel better about it. I feel like I understand it a little bit better. I feel like it's really coming to the point where we have to keep ourselves up and educated, you know, because there is so much new information and so many new things happening. It's hard to take it all in. But when you break it down and you put it in a way that we can understand it a little bit better, and we've got somebody like you that's following along with it and that understands it and can explain it to us in a way that doesn't sound like mumbo jumbo. I don't know, for me, it's like, I'm incredibly proud of these people that know that it's going to be a daunting thing to do and they do it anyways, you know?
You know, it is hard. In the United States, I know, you know, we don't have these things like, you know, bank holidays every week, a month off at during the summer. Yeah. Americans, for the most part, work long hours and lots of weeks out. Your typical person like a Jackie Coat is probably maybe getting 5 or 6 days off a year, maybe getting a week's vacation. So what happens? You're working 40 hours a week, the 50 weeks out of the year. You are either at work, thinking about work, driving to work, coming back from work. It is a big part of your life. And when you are subject to, let's say, harassment, discrimination, it's not something where, okay, I got a month away, I'm waiting for August so I can kind of get away. It's every day. It impacts you.
It's grueling. It is. It's absolutely grueling.
Yeah. It's grueling. Can I just take a moment, because I'm a former human resources executive as well as an employment attorney. If anyone feels they're being discriminated against, harassed in the workplace, what should you do? What are some of the steps to take?
Right.
My recommendation is as follows. Take out your employee handbook, look at your company's policies and procedures manual, and figure out if you feel you're being harassed at work, if it's a coworker who's saying things that are inappropriate, go to them and tell them you want the behavior to stop. If it does not stop, or if it's somebody, just like you were saying before, if it's a supervisor, if it's somebody in organizational higher up, that maybe you feel a little bit intimidated, you're concerned about retribution, you're concerned about retaliation, pull out your employee handbook or your policies and procedures manual. And what you want to go to is you want to go to the page that tells you who grievances should be directed to. In the United States, it would be the EEO officer or his or her designate, Equal Employment Opportunity Official. You want to go to that person and you want to complain. You want to bring any evidence that you have of the discrimination.
It is important to keep everything like really well documented, like the detail, right?
Absolutely. If somebody's sending you harassing notes, if somebody has left, I mean, you just having been all types of things. I mean, you know, if somebody has left a derogatory something on your that's derogatory towards members of the gay or lesbian community, physical evidence of it, notes, memos, dolls, all type you want to take, you want to bring that evidence and you want to file a complaint with the EEO officer and give them an opportunity, hopefully, to get in there and to do what they're supposed to do, which is to investigate the complaint and to protect you. You don't have to put up with it, because when you keep it all inside, what I've seen happen, the plaintiffs that I've represented, Denise, is it impacts you physically. You can get ulcers. You can break down. I've had people that weight loss and marriage problems, because now these problems, they go in and they're yelling at their kids because they don't want to because of what's going on in the workplace.
I mean, and ultimately, I mean, there's people. You hear about it every day about suicide, you know, bullying. And I mean, like, that's the worst possible outcome. What Kathy's saying here is you can do something about it. There's steps in place. And I mean, like, I never knew about, you know, I mean, I think the most I knew, and I worked at the same insurance company for almost 17 years. and you know, what happened was when I first started, there was a human resources office, and then there was an employment department. And then as the company grew and it got bought and sold a couple of times over and became part of something really big, the human resources office wasn't on site anymore. And I think that that was a huge deterrent. Like, people didn't want to look into how to contact, what to do, what the steps are, to look on this big general website on our intraweb that was just company-based to learn what to do. Our handbook was online. You know, it was a strange time. It was, we went from having the luxury of walking down the hall, knocking on the door and saying, hey, you free for a minute, to the human resources person, to now having these very official steps that were all new to us. And, you know, I guess basically don't let that put you off.
No, absolutely not. You want to go through, I mean, you know, you, unless, I mean, obviously if you're feeling, another area that I'm really researching right now is this growing epidemic of workplace violence. I mean, it's crazy. Yeah. It's crazy. Years ago, when I first got in human resources, the biggest issue that we had when safety committee would meet would be maybe once in a while there'd be hand, you know, just a fight or words. And now it's gone. We just had a situation yesterday in Jacksonville. Another employee brings a gun in, you know, to the workplace. Do not be afraid to speak up. You know, you can't keep it in. If somebody is saying things that are derogatory, that is making you feel bad, that is impacting you in some way, you know, tell them to stop if it's a colleague. And if it doesn't, I mean, pull them aside, tell them to stop. You do not have to. If people are standing by the water cooler and gay jokes or stereotypes and
snickering,
even though you're not participating, it still could be impacting you.
Right.
Tell them to, if they won't stop, then you go to who you're supposed to go to. It may say go to your supervisor and file a complaint. Document your complaint. Document everything. Keep out. Give the organization a chance. Hopefully they're enlightened. They'll go in, because not every state right now bars sexual orientation discrimination. New Jersey, for example, where I'm licensed, there is a state statute that protects employees from sexual orientation discrimination, but nothing at the federal level.
Right.
But hopefully you work for an enlightened organization that recognizes this nonsense shouldn't go on in the world. This is a place to come and to work, not to discriminate against people or harass people on the basis of, you know, fill in the blank, whether it's race, color, sex, religion, orientation, or anything else. Hopefully you work for an organization that's like that.
Let me ask you this, Kathy. If an employee doesn't know, if their state is one of those states, how would they go about finding out?
You can do a little bit of research online. I'd recommend whatever state that you're in. You can kind of just go in and just plug in New Jersey and look to see if there is a civil rights type law that protects on the basis of sexual orientation. Okay. New Jersey, California, the states that you would expect have them, states that you wouldn't expect don't.
Right.
But at the national level, we are working toward, we're moving toward having Title VII. There's just too much happening right now. Having Title VII as just like, is it recognized same-sex harassment for a long time, even though in 1986, the Supreme Court ruled that sexual harassment is a form of sex discrimination and therefore violates Title VII. What about male-on-male harassment or female-on-female harassment?
Right.
All over the place until 1990. Now, there was a case called 1999 Sundowner versus Onkel. A gentleman who worked in Louisiana, and he was being just threats of horrible harassment. Went to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court said same-sex harassment is sexual harassment and violates Title VII. So we have a lot going on right now at the federal level. In the meantime, though, we have to work, let's face it, day in and day out.
Right.
So definitely, if you feel that you're being discriminated against, harassed, you're being bullied, speak up, don't tolerate it, go to who you're supposed to go to and file a complaint appropriately. Give the organization a chance to do their job. If they're not doing their job, then you want to do is consult with maybe an attorney in your jurisdiction that specializes in employment law, or you want to go to the EEOC, or if there's a state law that you, like a state will have a commission on civil rights, you go to them and file a complaint. Don't not do anything about it because it's going to impact you in some way, shape, or form.
Exactly. Kathy, you mentioned your blog and your website too a couple of times. Let's let our listeners know where they can find that. The website is
Okay, my website is www.KathleenBonzicEsquire.com. It would KathleenBonzicEsq.com. And I run a blog up there. I have a lot of stuff on LGBTs. I've got, if anyone wants to, I did a blog last week. It's just steps you take if you feel you're being harassed or discriminated against. I'm watching the code case. I'm going to put up the decision and the adoption matter that came up yesterday. I also have a 180 seconds YouTube, and that's where I'll get up and I'll do a podcast. Why I call 180 seconds? I try to do it around 3 minutes because people don't have time to sit.
Remember, right.
60 minutes. Nobody has
yeah, time. But I love it because you're really taking the important, the meat and potatoes and getting it out there. And this is a YouTube channel, and you're basically giving listeners the meat and potatoes of these cases in 180 seconds.
Yes, sometimes it's going to be a little bit less. Sometimes yeah. More, but depending on the subject matter. But yeah, I do have, so that's on my YouTube channel. It's 180 seconds on YouTube, and you can find it if you go to my website.
That's excellent. I'm telling you, I can't tell you how happy I am to have you back in the States and doing this kind of stuff. This is really important stuff for our community, and it's really important stuff for my listeners. And not to mention, I'm super thrilled because we have our personal connection.
We do. And I was just saying, oh my God, you look like you did when I remember you as a little kid running around in Coral Springs with my sister.
Exactly. It's just amazing to reconnect, though, especially on this level, because I guess, I've always known that this kind of stuff was important, but I didn't feel like I was the person that should be delivering it. We need people on our side like you. And that's really, I can't say thank you enough for taking time out to do something like this. And we'll try and make it a regular thing. If something comes up, you can always let me know.
I love it because there's a lot going on, so I would love to, and I'd love to talk to you anyway. So definitely let's stay in touch.
Definitely.